Ebola in New York City.
We are as ready as one could be.
A doctor who'd been in West Africa.
His fiance and friends have been quarantined.
Northwest storm damage.
The tornado went.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan with the CBS World News Roundup. In the city that never sleeps, a case of Ebola has people talking.
I mean, it's a little scary. It's a little close to home.
I'm not scared about this Ebola thing.
New York City is now dealing with its first Ebola victim, Dr. Craig Spencer, who had recently been treating virus patients in Guinea. He went to the hospital with a temperature of 100.3, lower than earlier reports. This week, feeling fatigued but not feverish, Spencer got on subways and went to a bowling alley. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says all protocols have been followed.
I feel confident that we're doing everything that we should be doing, and we have the situation under control.
I'm Heather Bosch in New York at Bellevue Hospital. I'm told everything being done is to not only help Dr. Craig Spencer recover from Ebola, but to protect those around him. He's in a special unit, one of only eight in the state, set up to treat and isolate Ebola patients. A CDC team is going to oversee treatment and safety. In addition, three people who had close contact with him are being quarantined as a precaution. They're not showing any symptoms. And Mayor Bill de Blasio insists.
The health department has a team of disease detectives who have been at work tracing all of the patient's contacts.
He says more people will be quarantined if necessary.
CBS News Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. John LaPook joins us with more on the response to this Ebola case in New York City. John, first take us inside Bellevue Hospital for his treatment.
Well, fortunately, this is different than what happened in Dallas, because in Dallas, when Mr. Duncan walked in, they really were unprepared. In Bellevue, this is a designated Ebola center, and they have been training for this for weeks and weeks. They're set up for it.
Mm-hmm. What about the CDC team that's been deployed?
Just got off the phone with the CDC, and half of their SWAT team or part of their SWAT team is already here. The rest will arrive today, and their chief expert in Ebola is already in the city.
He did feel fatigued, maybe not feverish, but he got on subways and went bowling. Why don't you stay home and watch a movie?
Yeah, you know, this is this question that has come up over and over again now, which is, what does symptomatic mean? Does it mean if you have a fever of 99.5 like Nurse Vincent had? I spoke to Dr. Bausch, who is an expert who actually did these studies about virus and sweat, and he said, you know what, early on in the disease, it really doesn't seem like it's there. If it were, people would be spreading it casually, and it doesn't seem like they do.
That's Dr. John LaPook. Thanks very much. CBS's Dan Raviv in Washington tells us there's a congressional hearing on the Ebola response this morning.
The chairman of the House Oversight Committee, California Republican Darrell Issa, says he wants to explore the federal government's response to the first Ebola cases in the U.S. Witnesses will be asked what could have been done better. With Election Day a week from Tuesday, Republicans have been describing the Obama administration as incompetent. Two administration officials will testify today.
In Dallas, CBS's Peter King says the fiance of Ebola victim Thomas Eric Duncan is trying to put her life back together after his death.
The Sunday sermons at Wilshire Baptist Church have said
that this is a time for faith to dominate over fear.
Louise Trow never had Ebola, but Associate Pastor Mark Wingfield says fear of the disease has made it impossible for her to find a new home.
Some of the things we've encountered are clearly discriminatory.
Wingfield says Trow is trying to stay positive.
She's looking good. She's in good health. She's just weary from all that is going on and a lot of decisions to be made.
The good news is that churches, companies, and private donors are helping the family rebuild after they lost everything. Wingfield says Trow's employer, Senior Healthcare Center, wants her back when she's ready. Peter King, CBS News, Dallas.
In Africa, the first case of Ebola has been reported in Mali. It's a two-year-old girl who had been in Guinea. Police in Canada believe frustration over delays in getting a passport may have driven the Ottawa Parliament gunman to violence. They say 32-year-old Michael Zahaf Bibo, who shot and killed a soldier, acted alone. His mother says he told her he wanted to go to Syria. Barbara Winters was one of the people who got to Corporal Nathan Cirillo first as he lay dying at the National War Memorial. She tells CBC Radio,
I want his parents to know, and his family, that the people who were working on him, they were all just there for him. There was nothing else in the world for the five of us when we were there except that man.
CBS's Jim Krasula in Ottawa with one of the questions some Canadians are asking.
Has Canada been too naive, too trusting of those with extremist views?
We're not harsh enough with the people that are doing this to us.
We should be deporting and getting rid of more citizenships and passports.
The thoughts of Dominic Quido moments after he laid a bouquet of red roses at the growing memorial to Nathan Cirillo, the 24-year-old unarmed soldier, a single dad of a 6-year-old, who died while serving as an honor guard at Canada's National War Memorial. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Ottawa.
A tornado did damage yesterday in the Longview, Washington area. Trees and power lines came down, and 6-year-old Alex Bernard saw it.
The window broke, and the tornado went and destroyed.
The tornado kicked up a mile-wide path of damage. In parts of New England, plenty of people cleaning up after a nor'easter that caused flooding and power outages. 3 people were killed, 2 injured when a helicopter and small plane collided in midair over an airport in Frederick, Maryland. NTSB investigator Brian Rayner.
The helicopter destroyed. There's some debris scattered around between the rows of storage buildings.
The New York City police officer is in critical but stable condition with a hatchet wound to the head. The man who attacked him and another cop on a busy street corner was shot and killed. A man in northeastern Pennsylvania who says he's been stopped and questioned by police more than 20 times as they hunt for the suspect in the ambush killing of a state trooper. James Tully resembles the elusive survivalist Eric Freen. Tully says the worst of it was the other day when he was walking home from work at 1 in the morning and an unmarked SUV approached.
The driver jumps out, pointing a rifle at my head, ordering me down to the ground, constantly demanding what my name is. Has a knee buried into my back.
State police then showed up to say Tully is not Freen. He's now wearing an ID around his neck. Some people have raised money for him, and one person is leading an effort to buy Tully a car so he doesn't have to walk. It was 1968, and Frank Mankiewicz was the man who had to tell the world some terrible news.
Senator Robert Francis Kennedy died at 1:44 a.m. today, June 6th. 1968.
Mankiewicz, who was RFK's press secretary, has died at 90. He spent time in politics, wrote 2 books about Nixon, was a columnist, PR man, and president of National Public Radio for a time. Mankiewicz said Kennedy's assassination was the shaping influence in his adult life. Game 2 of the World Series drew 12.9 million TV viewers on Fox. Just a bit more than Game 1, which was the lowest-rated opener in history. This week, more people watched The Big Bang Theory and Cable's The Walking Dead, and the Sunday Night Football audience was twice that of the series games. And that's the World News Roundup for Friday. The broadcast is produced by Paul Ferry. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.